Your somatosensory cortex has re-established itself beautifully, I'm pleased to say. And after all that passionate activity, your form didn't oscillate from this plane of existence even once. If anything, your aura seems to be rooted even stronger. My dear, it was never a concern. I was certain the bond with your soulstone was sound from the moment the link was established. I wouldn't have risked you if there was the slightest chance of your spirit becoming unmoored. But it's thrilling to have the additional verification. This is all so exciting. I wouldn't say the rush of endorphins and dopamine from our time together is the only thing making me happy. No. You're a wonder. I'm truly glad I could put together this construct for you. I kept thinking the entire time, even if something doesn't work and I have to try again, I haven't felt this invigorated about a project in years. And then you woke up, and I realized building your construct was just the beginning. But no, my pillow talk isn't usually this clinical. Forgive me. I can't help it. Feels as though every minute I spend with you shows me some new fascination. You like it, do you? Shall I go on? Perhaps I should mention how delightfully easy it is to trigger your autonomous sensory meridian response and send you into frissons of joy just by whispering in your ear. Or how utterly charming your expression looks during the onset of the post-coital relaxation state. I jest, you adorable creature. Mostly. It is rather endearing, bringing out those responses in you. I think part of the reason for my elation, the pleasure of your company and the thrill of a new subject of study aside, is that it feels good to have a project run so smoothly. My last one went rather horribly. You recall that I told you I specialize in helping the bereaved with the mourning process, yes? I loved my work. I still do. Bringing comfort and closure to those who need it is, and always will be, my most fulfilling pursuit. But it grew difficult not to become discouraged when friends and families of the deceased would continue to suffer, even after the prayers and ceremonies were finished, tormented by unfinished arguments or unsaid goodbyes, or simply the desire to be with them for a little while longer. As you experienced for yourself, summoning spirits for the purpose of communication is... it's difficult. Along with the time constraint, emotions run high for everyone involved, which makes establishing and keeping a connection for any decent length of time an exercise in frustration. I wanted to find a better way for them to say their goodbyes. I imagined a window between realms that they could speak through, a quiet space where the living and dead could say everything they needed to say at their leisure. At first it was only an idle fancy, something I researched when I had nothing better to do. But the more answers I found, the more feasible the venture seemed. There were dangers involved, but it was possible. Soon it was all I wanted to talk about. Yes, I drove my friends and colleagues mad. More than one of my old professors declared a moratorium on the subject, not because the idea didn't have merit, but because it was reckless and disruptive. And, well, they never said it out loud, but I could see it on their faces. They thought it beneath a graduate to waste his precious mortal hours with such naive pursuits. The idea tormented me. Finally, I fasted for 3 days and nights while praying to Lord Charon, our grinning protector, and asked him what to do. I left the church no less convinced that what I was doing was worth the risk. If I could manage, it would change everything for the better. I updated my last will and testament, left an offering of pomegranate wine and honey cakes at the communal altar, and got to work. It took almost a month. I followed everything to the letter. I still don't know precisely what went wrong. Only that, instead of creating a window between worlds, I tore open a jagged hole in reality. Oh, I was such an idiot. So many things could have happened. Do you know what horrors lurk in the in-between? Incomprehensible creatures that feed on fear and pain. Eternally lost travelers who were unfortunate enough to have a teleportation spell go awry. They couldn't die. I saw their bodies twisting and contorting. I managed to mend the tear, but at great cost. The backlash tore my soul from my body. And, thank all the gods, I was pulled into the afterlife and not that unspeakable place. It was a close thing, though. I felt it almost happen, just as the seam closed. I was very lucky nothing escaped. Can you imagine? I don't deserve your compassion. Thank you. It took me 15 years to find my body. Necromancers receive a gold ring containing a sliver of pale green mort stone when we're initiates. That way, if our soul becomes unanchored from our body due to a miscast spell or a botched ritual, we have a beacon to find our way back. We're expected to wear them for the rest of our natural lives. Only the truly reckless dare remove them. Fortunately, my associates buried me with mine. I woke in the university's ossuary. By then, I was nothing but sleeping bones, but my soul still found purchase in what was left. You want to see? Truly? You're incorrigible. Very well. I will drop my glamour for but a moment. Boo. That's quite enough of that, I think. Yes, the level of complexity that I put into my glamour isn't quite as advanced as yours, but I was still very thorough. What a remarkable person you are. Not everybody would be pleased to find out they're cuddling a skeleton, you know. Well, thank goodness you're not easily shocked, then. There's not much to tell after all that. I found a gardener's robe in an old linen closet and snuck out. I haven't been able to face any of them since. That was almost 7 years ago. I'm sure they've noticed the empty spot in the ossuary. Perhaps they've even glimpsed me dwelling here, as secluded as this place is. But no one has sought to inquire after me. I wouldn't be the first of us to seek a lengthy period of seclusion after a setback like mine. Oh, of course I miss them. I enjoyed irreplaceable friendships and romances among my coterie. But I let my hubris get the better of me and gave necromancers everywhere a bad name. And we Ravenhursts have served and honored the dead for generations. If any of them were alive, to see what I did. Yes, I'm the only member of my family living these days. This house is all I have left of them. For the longest time, I thought word would somehow reach one of them, and I'd get to add being haunted by the disappointed spectre of my beloved Aunt Persephone to my list of woes. I would deserve it. She thought so well of me, and I endangered so many with my foolish, idiotic fancies. I've only started taking up work again because I need to do something. There's a restlessness in me, a madness that only grows stronger the longer I'm idle. At first, researching and publishing articles under a false name was enough, but one day I looked at my desk and it all seemed so meaningless. I began to question my purpose. Doubts crawled into my thoughts like grave roaches. I realized that I missed my old work keenly. It tormented me day and night. I thought, it couldn't hurt, could it? Just a little. Your cousin's case sounded simple enough. He wanted the key to your journal. I thought I could bring him a bit of comfort in allowing him to read what you wrote. I'm so sorry for the trouble I caused you, inadvertent as it was. You're too kind. But you're right. Without his beastly behavior, we wouldn't have met. What on earth did he want with that journal anyway, if you don't mind me asking? Instructions? What were you building? Ah, yes, I've heard about hearth crystals. Marvelous creations of pure creative potential, often installed in the homes of sorcerers, I believe. I've even read theories that some crystals possess personalities of sorts and will playfully misinterpret requests if you're not careful with your phrasing. Your cousin wants to install yours in a tannery? Oh, how ghastly. Putting a beloved family heirloom in a place like that. What the hells is he thinking? I'm no expert, but even I know that hearth crystals are incredibly delicate instruments. They can't be used to replace labor. Ugh. Merciful Dark. No wonder you didn't want to speak with him. There's something I have to tell you. It's about your journal. I didn't burn it. I know, I should have. But I couldn't bear to. Perhaps I'm sentimental, but I've always believed the cherished objects the dead leave behind have a certain power to them. It's important to me that they are used after their owner has departed. I never destroy them unless there's no other option. Yes, and, well, the thought of burning a book, that's just unspeakable to me. I kept it. It's in my office right now. Please know that even though I went against your wishes, I did not attempt to pry my way inside and read its contents. I simply liked having it around in those long months while I worked on your construct. It felt as though a small part of you was keeping me company. If you wanted, it's entirely possible for you to retrieve your... What did you name it again? Codsworth. Gods. I do wonder, how long has the crystal been sealed away in your home? Not counting the 10 months you were deceased, I mean. Well, I only ask because I recall an article that stated that it is almost as harmful to allow one to fall into significant disuse as it is to overwork it. There was an incident involving a pear orchard in Switzerland where a neglected crystal began to actually leak magic, which caused no small amount of damage to that year's harvest. Oh, I don't mean to worry you further, but as dreadful as it sounds to have your half-crystal working ceaselessly in a tannery, I can't imagine it would fare well locked in your basement, either. Good. I will trust your judgment that Codsworth is not in immediate danger, then. You would know its temperament best, after all. It must have been quite something growing up with such a marvel. Almost like having an invisible relative. Oh. No, no. I understand entirely that it wasn't your intention to endanger it. You were in dire straits, and if I had to choose between keeping it locked up and letting it fall into the hands of your horrible cousin, I'm sure I would have done the same. He can't access the crystal without the instructions in your journal. The key is still buried in your garden, correct? Then you need only ask, and I would be happy to keep your journal hidden until you need it. It's the least I can do. For now, we must acclimate you, my dear, before you do anything as bold as reclaiming your inheritance. Would you care for some tea? I can't begin to tell you how pleased I am to be able to bring you a drink that you can actually enjoy. Or if you're feeling up to trying your feet, I can fetch us some robes and show you the kitchen. As pleasant as it is, my examination table wasn't technically supposed to hold two people. Ah, wonderful. It's been so long since Ravenhurst Manor had any guests. We'll start you on Earl Grey for now. I have some more adventuresome blends for later, if they appeal. Careful not to scorch your tongue. I'd rather not have you relive that misery this evening. I'm glad it suits your palate. It will be an interesting process, re-establishing your likes and dislikes again. I know from personal experience that it can all be a bit overpowering at first. Well, in order for final year students to qualify for graduation, we are required to experience the touch of death firsthand. This is done under incredibly controlled circumstances and careful supervision. We're only gone for a few hours, and our bodies are kept quite safe during our foray. After our souls are successfully called back, it's tradition to throw a wild party. It's ample cause for celebration, as you can imagine, but there is a very practical reason for it too. After my journey, I was alarmed to discover that I could no longer remember the taste of food or the pleasure of sipping a hot drink. It wasn't that I felt numb or in any way different afterwards. It was simply erased, as if I'd been born without a sense of taste or smell at all. I couldn't even imagine what such things were like. We were reassured beforehand that since we only had a brief brush with death, our memories would come rushing back to us in a relatively short time. To help the process along, the faculty had us make a list of our favourite meals and drinks with the chef, and it was all there waiting for us upon our return. I requested breakfast for dinner. Welsh rarebit with a runny egg on top, baked beans, sausages, blackberry scones with clotted cream, orange juice, and a pot of Earl Grey. I swear to you, I've never had a finer meal before or since. We were encouraged to indulge ourselves, overindulge even, for relearning the unpleasantness of an overfull belly or the woozy feeling of too much wine was just as important as all the rest. And when the feasting and speeches were over, many of us split off in twos or threes to refamiliarize ourselves with more intimate joys. I'll never forget how wonderful that first day back was. Not for as long as I live. And I relish the chance to welcome you back in much the same manner. I'm glad you're enjoying yourself so far, my dear. Oh, you needn't worry about me. My senses are a little dulled, but I'm still quite able to enjoy food and drink and other amusements. I could go on about it for ages, but to make a lengthy explanation significantly shorter, my soul is bound to my skeleton, and that link is formed through the Mort Stone I wear. Since I'm still technically bound to my body, most of its tactile memories remain, in spite of me lacking a nose or a tongue, or skin, or certain other extremities. As I said before, my glamour is thorough. But yes, your experience with sensations will be a bit different from how it was for me. Well, you were away for 10 months instead of a few hours, after all. And there are some complications that arise from lacking your original flesh and bones. They house memories too, you know. Reflexes, injuries, old aches. Ah, but it's hardly an impossible endeavor. Plenty can be accomplished without an original body, I assure you. And you are performing wonderfully so far. However, you must remember that you are brand new, a spirit encased in a delicate web of energy, conjuration magic, and your own incandescent willpower holding everything together. Adjusting to life again won't always be a simple or pleasant process, but I will be here to help you along every step of the way. And taking notes, yes, with your permission. Of course. You know, I'm so glad you don't mind. I would have put down my pen right now if you insisted, but it would have been torture. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to research your unique circumstances so extensively. But even that takes second place to your comfort and safety. If there is anything that occurs that you would like to stay private, you simply say the word. Now, to return to the subject of your construct. Yes, it's able to absorb anything you eat or drink, with no bodily waste to worry about. You won't be able to function on food and drink alone, however. Just as living bodies need a balanced variety of vitamins, minerals, and protein, your construct has certain requirements it needs in order to keep running properly. While meals will comfort and satiate you, what actually nourishes you is the regard of the living. To sum it up simply, when someone gives you sustenance, you are remembered, and therefore you continue existing. It explains why ghouls and unchecked zombies gnaw endlessly upon bones and viscera and experience no relief, whereas there are thousands of rituals and holidays dedicated towards the feeding and placating of hungry spirits, from altar-keeping to the simple act of leaving a favourite sweet on a child's grave once a year. Oh, yes, it is fascinating to study. If you like, I have several books on the subject that I could recommend. My dear, is something wrong? No. Let me explain. Please. Yes. No wonder you're upset. Dying unmourned as you did. Your soul lost. Your body abandoned. I'm sorry. I spoke thoughtlessly. You won't have to spend the rest of your time here struggling to catch and hold the attention of others. For you to acquire nourishment, it would be a simple matter of purchasing meal ingredients from someone, or perhaps accepting a dinner invitation, if that's more to your liking. I'm using the term regard rather loosely. The living do not need to know you personally, let alone look upon you favorably. You don't even need to speak to them, and thank goodness for that, given that most of them wouldn't be able to hear you if you did. One day I will find my way around making a voice box that resonates on spectral frequencies. But I promise you, it's perfectly possible for you to live independently, without fearing where your next meal will come from. Given your singular case, I'll need to figure out how long you can go between true meals, but I swear to you that you will not wander hungry or suffer neglect. And should you wish it, you are always welcome at my table. Of course, my dear, of course. Always. Don't give it another thought. Again, you're kind to ask, but you really needn't waste your concern on me. As an undead creature, I'm not as complex as you are. My will alone is enough to keep me moving. When that fades, I'll simply slip back into death. Not unlike reclining in a warm bath, really. But that won't happen for a long while yet. Especially when there's so much to do. Now, would you care for something to go with that tea? It would be my pleasure. Let me just see what's in the pantry. There we are. Sugar and lemon for your tea. Toast with butter, some honey, and an array of fruits. Simple fare, but perhaps that's best to start with. I caution you against biting into the very center of the pear or the apple, as they can have a woody texture, but the blackberries are quite good. Do let me know if there are any foods you're especially keen on revisiting. We are due for a shopping trip very soon, I think. Careful now. Don't eat too fast. I know the urge to try everything at once, but we can't have you getting sick. I wasn't expecting you to bite into the lemon. My goodness, you have an adventurous appetite. In that case, sprinkling a bit of salt or sugar on that might cut its astringency. You can use the spoon with the honey, you know. You needn't dip your fingers into it. You're enjoying yourself quite a bit, aren't you? Might I join you?